At first glance, there doesn't seem to be much in common between a California wildfire and the massive hurricane that devastated Puerto Rico. Fire destroys vast acreages of land in flames, and hurricanes do their damage with wind and water. But look a little closer at the aftermath, and the two disasters have more in common than one might expect. Now a crew of Central Valley hotshots, the highly trained California firefighters who take on the most dangerous tasks, are in Puerto Rico to help. Valley Public Radio's Jeffrey Hess spoke with hotshot firefighter Kurt Waldenese before they left for the island on Friday. They talk about what exactly a wildfire and hurricane have in common and how they think they can help.
What's similar between responding to a forest fire in California and a hurricane on an island in the Caribbean?
Well, from what I understand, we're going to clear vegetation out of roads, which in a fire situation, that's kind of our expertise, is clearing the vegetation and the fuels. So I believe we're going to clear the vegetation out of the road, which is corresponding with the same type of work, you know, clearing roads and whatnot in a devastated area.
How do you go about doing that?
Well, we're going to use our chainsaws. We're highly skilled in chainsaw operation, so I believe that's the reason we've been picked to do this. basically just cutting, and I don't know if they're going to use equipment to move the logs or if we're going to have to do it with just manpower.
So in the years you've learned all these chainsaw skills, what goes into it? What is it about being a hotshot and working on the fires here in California that gives you the skills to help clear those roads?
Well, I mean, we're a highly physically fit group of people that can work, you know, long, strenuous 12 to 16 hour days. And I think that doing such a thing in a time, you know, we'll be able to clear the roads in a timely manner with people that can have the endurance to keep working for a very long period of time.
When you've done fires, I know you said you've been a firefighter now for 6 years, right?
Yeah.
When you've done them, how significant is the road blockage you have to deal with?
Well, usually on a fire, you know, usually we get trees that burn and fall across the road, and occasionally we have to clear that. But a lot of times, like, you get into this, you know, Central and Southern California brush component, and we'll have a fire that's burning in a, you know, literally 6 to 10 feet of super thick brush. And we basically got to make a road along the edge of the fire to be able to put in a hand line to stop the fire. So I think it's going to be pretty similar to that with, you know, the blowdown and the devastation there.
So for you, it's not even just like kicking the log off the road there. Like, you deal with a lot of really complicated
vegetation.
Get
jack straw down.
What's jack straw?
That's like a lot of logs that are like put together in a, you know, they're all bound together, one, you know, from falling down, and it's, you have to understand how to take relief cuts and manage the binds of the wood without getting anyone injured.
And I can imagine that there's a lot of that going on. Like, if the hurricane comes through and blows all these trees down, it would make sense it would be all tangled up like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's not going to fall in an even, orderly manner whatsoever. It's going to be a real mess, you know.
What's the number one tip that you've learned from some of the older guys or someone who is yourself getting started on the hotshot crew? What's the number one tip for wielding that chainsaw?
Just pay attention to where your tip is on the chainsaw at all times, and, you know, definitely area control and safety for you and the people around you is the number one thing, I would say.
Don't get hit with the pointy end.
Yeah, exactly that. And you got to watch where your logs are rolling and make sure that nobody, you know, is downhill of it or anywhere that somebody might be injured.
Yeah, that's going to be especially important in Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is not flat.
No, that's from the pictures I've seen, it looks like some pretty steep terrain. And that's definitely going to be an issue with rolling material and whatnot, especially things that have already fallen, you know, you don't really know.
Do you think the mountain environments up here where you have to deal with these really remote areas, is that going to help?
Yeah, I mean, we're used to working in steep terrain. That's kind of where hotshots get sent, is the worst areas of the fire and the steepest terrain. So I think that that'll be a big help with us dealing in, if we have to deal with steep terrain and the jungle or heavily vegetated areas.
Are you from here?
I'm from Mariposa.
So you're from the Central Valley?
Yes, I've lived here for the last 20 years or so.
And how old are you?
36.
So have you ever been in a hurricane?
No.
In a hurricane damage zone?
No, I never have. I've never dealt with any severe weather like that. So that'll be an eye-opener for sure.
I guess in one regard, it's a bit safer because the hurricane's not coming back, whereas a hot shot, you jump in right on the front line.
Yeah, that's true. We always have to keep a good escape route and everything. We won't have to worry about that unless, of course, there's more weather that comes while we're there. We were talking about that this morning, the possibility of, seems like a pretty active hurricane season.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
Yeah, for sure.
Ever been to Puerto Rico?
No, I've never been anywhere off the mainland U.S. I worked in Alaska for a couple seasons, but yeah, so.
So how are you feeling? What are you thinking about the potential that you could be there days or weeks or your supervisor says up to a month?
I think it's just going to be like any other fire assignment. You know, you're going to miss the family and being home and all that. But once we get through it, you know, there's a certain amount of time and then we'll come home and just do our job while we're there.
Yeah, and it's certainly something a lot of people out there could use your help and expertise.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're going to be very helpful. You know, being a 20-person crew, we'll have a lot of hands to help, and the skills with the chainsaw, I think, will come in very handy.
You said 20 is going? Is that how many is going?
Yeah, 20 people on this crew.
These are your bags you're taking with you?
Yeah, these are our flight bags. They're all weighed. We all have a certain amount of weight we're allowed to carry on the aircraft, and so basically we're allowed to carry 60 pounds. That's with all our personal gear and all our personal protective equipment. Hard hats, everything. We got 60 pounds.
Is your bag accessible? Can you show me what's in your bag?
Yeah. In here, I got a sleeping bag, sleeping bag. This is my IA gear, which is actually really stripped down now for weight. I usually got more water bottles, more different stuff in there, but just got the basic essentials right now to take. In here, I got all the clothing that I'm bringing, which isn't much. We got maybe 3 or 4 shirts, about 10 pairs of socks, rain gear, because it's supposed to be wet there quite often.
Can I take a picture?
Sure. A lot of raincoats and some rain pants.
Yeah, you might be needing that.
It's supposed to be pretty wet there, so yeah, basically keep your feet dry, and the rest of it, I guess, we'll just deal with as it gets wet.
That's the number one thing, right? Keeping those feet dry.
Yeah, from what I understand, that's a problem with being in the tropical environment, keeping your feet dry. So supposedly they're going to supply us with some good rain boots.
Hopefully some water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you mentioned there's some differences between what you would carry with you normally and what you've got in here. What's the difference?
Well, on a wildfire, I usually have more water. I carry, you know, 8 quarts of water usually because we're going up and out and away from the vehicles. Here we're going to be working on roads where water is probably going to be in the vehicles behind us, so I'm going to carry less water. As far as anything else, I had to take all my batteries out to go on a flight. We usually carry fuel for the saws, which isn't going to be in here because of the flight. I'm going to carry that differently. Pretty much everything that I've changed around has just been for weight, so that I can reduce the amount of weight that I'm carrying so that I can make it on these military aircrafts.
Are the flight restrictions more or less strict than what you have to carry with you when you go out here?
I think they're about the same, as long as, because they do what they're called agency flights, where it's just responders. And we only have for 20 people, we have a 5,300-pound weight limitation.
That's not a lot.
Ourselves and all our personal gear.
Yeah, I was going to say, assuming, because is it all men that are going?
What's that?
It's all men that are going?
Yeah, our crew is all made up of all men.
Yeah, I mean, let's say the average guy weighs 180, 200 pounds. I mean, you're at 4,000 pounds right there.
That's, yeah, exactly.
You got to travel pretty light.
So only get allowed, you know, whatever amount of personal gear you can carry.
Did you discuss what you're going to take with other guys, or is this kind of just your
own? We've all been kind of bouncing it off each other. The big hang-up's been is if we're going to take tents or not. Our tents weigh almost 10 pounds. I went without it.
Where are you going to sleep?
I have a bivy sack that's a waterproof sleeping bag cover, basically.
So for lack of a better term, you're going to sleep in a plastic bag.
Yeah, exactly. Around my sleeping bag, which I don't expect it to be cold there. It's supposed to be in the 80s most of the time with 80 to 90% humidity. So I don't think staying warm is going to be an issue.
Wife, kids, any of that?
No, I don't have a girlfriend. But I've been spending time with her because I know I'm going to be gone for a while.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, being away from family and stuff like that. I didn't know if you had little ones running around at home or not.
No, I don't, but there's a lot of guys on the crew that are new fathers. And what's that?
What's she thinking? Has she expressed any concern or anything to you?
Yeah, she keeps saying, be careful, and, you know.
And you're like, honey, I jump into the fire. It's like, how much more dangerous could this be?
Exactly, but, you know, everybody's like, oh, you don't want to catch malaria or anything, you know.
Is that a risk?
No, from what I understand, I've read that there's no malaria in Puerto Rico, but there's other similar diseases. So I don't know. Yeah, it's always a risk.
Anything else you want to add?
Anything you're scared about?
No, I hear the wildlife, there's monkeys and snakes, but the snakes aren't as bad as they are here. So really, I mean, I just look forward to the opportunity to help the people of Puerto Rico, you know.